But amen. Hallelujah. You ready?
Yes, sir.
Are you sure?
Yes, sir. I think I know where you were going.
Hey, no, you never know what I'm gonna play. Amen. I tell you something, we could take the rest of the service and say, thank you, Lord. But ain't it pretty? Just see, just go and look across the ocean as far as your eyes can see, and it looks like it just, that's it. Well, you can go to the upper part of Alaska, and you can look out and you can see Russia. That's how close Russia is to us. That's how close Russia is to the United States. And two, and you know, I don't know if y'all been watching this week, but we need to pray for the country over there, Israel, because they are fighting for what they believe, and they've come in. The Pakistanians and the Hamas and all them have come in and started killing the young people, the teenagers over there, and I can't think of the Prime Minister's name, but he says, I'm not going to let that happen no more. And then Obama. Did you hear that? Obama is not going to protect Israel. The only thing Obama wants to do is get Israel and Hamas and the Pakistanians and the Iranians and all that. He wants to get them back to talking together. Well, I tell you what, I think they done talked enough. And I think it's what Israel said, that we've done enough talking. Now it's time, let's do some action. But even them Jewish people over there, they know where they at. They in the palm of God's hands. So if you ain't ready, praise God, you better pack up. And what I mean by packing up, you better get everything in order. You better make sure that what's between you and the Lord, you done made right. If you ain't told your family lately, you must tell them that the time is coming. It's nearer today than it ever has before in life. The time has come. And I believe that, here I am 64 years old. I believe that I'll see it. And I believe I will be here when the trump of God sounds. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Then I'm going to meet them there now. And I'm going home with them. And when we get there, we ain't not going to have to go to the gate there and ask Peter I mean, where St. Peter's there at the gate and says, well, let me check your name. The gates are going to be wide open for all the Christians to come in. Just think about the sad. All the people that's going to be left here. We're going to have preachers that's going to be in the pulpit. We're going to have people that's in the pews. We're going to have people in the choir. We're going to still have people holding church services today. And the rapture's already taken place. Which I know the word rapture is not in the Bible, but it's the catching away. The same difference. But we're going home. We're going home. Over here in 1 Thessalonians tonight, for a little while, I want to bring you some thoughts of what we must be doing in the last days. And we're in the last days, and we need to let people know that whom side that we are on. But here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Hope everybody got the place. Verse 13 says, but I will not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with them. How many of you tonight believe that Jesus died for our sins and rose? He came forth from that grave. He didn't have to open that tomb. He could have came forth and bursted the ground wide open. But the reason he opened the grave, the reason he moved that stone, was where that his mother and the others could come by and see. Well, he wasn't there anymore. He left his garments there. He left his linen there. He left the napkin there. And I've told y'all that several times before. But it says in verse 15, it says, for this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the cloud to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. We can comfort the Christians. We can comfort the people out here in this world, that we can comfort them with this saying, but we have to let them know in whom we serve. We need to let them know that it's just not that we're just looking for the coming of the Lord, but we're glad to serve him. We're glad to go about and witnessing, and we should not be ever ashamed of telling somebody else about Jesus, because no one else was ashamed when they told us about Jesus. It was either the preacher had maybe told you about Jesus in the pulpit, or maybe somebody visiting your home had witnessed to you, but it's still based on the word of God is the reason that you're here today. The reason that you are here, it's the reason that you have stuck together, and it's the reason that you're here to serve the Lord. And I believe that each one of you want to do what the Lord has asked you to do. Now, there's some things here in the Word of God that I see that we must do, and we must show the world. And some people say, well, no, you're getting into works now. You're getting into showing the world. Yeah, we need to let the world know in whom side we are serving. We need to let the world know that, hey, I'm not serving Satan. I'm not serving the devil and all of his imps. I'm serving a true and living God. Why? Because he had a son there that was willing to leave heaven. All the portals of glory there in heaven and all the splendor that he had there with his father. He had fellowship there with the father. But his father told him, he said, son, now you must need to go. You must need to go to where people are looking for some kind of help. They're looking for some type of hope. And they have no hope at all. But you are the one that they can put their trust in. And they can know with a surety that they are saved by the grace of God. They can have a no-so salvation. And that no-so salvation is a K-N-O-W. As a no-so. Without any doubt at all, you should be able to answer that question so quick as anything. Somebody comes up to you and asks you, are you a Christian? Yes, I'm a Christian. Are you saved? Yes, sir, I'm saved. And I'm serving a true and living God. I'm not serving no false God out here like some of my here are serving. So many people out here are serving a false God. And we don't need to be serving a false God. Why? Because the false God, he does not have no hope for us. He does not have no future for us. He has nothing for us. But I thank God through Jesus Christ and what he done at Calvary that I can have the no-so salvation and I can have the no-so of his love that's embedded within my heart. When I got saved and I believe this from my heart, I believe it. But when the Lord saved me, and when I believe this also, when the Lord saved you, I believe the Lord put something inside of you that it want to come forth and wants to birth you into the family of God. And not only that, that it wants to birth somebody else into the family of God. Can you go back and remember when you first got saved? You could not wait until you told someone else. You couldn't wait until you went home and told your mother or your father or your uncles or your co-workers. But today, we can have people come into the house of God and we can have them come all the way in and we can allow them to come to the altar and they can cry the crocodile tears. They can cry and they can weep and everything. And what do? We sit back as people saying, well, I just wonder how long that's going to last. Just wonder how long that's going to last. It's not going to last if we've got that attitude. No. We need to go forth and we need to let them know that we care for them. And we will help them at all costs. That's the reason I tell somebody when they come up, if they get saved, join a church. When they join a church, and I told Sister Brenda, and I told you also here, that if you ever need me, all you have to do is just pick up your phone. And it's got a dial tone on it on the other end, and there's no time frame on it. Now today, what the seminaries I hear is teaching today, and what they're teaching the preachers I hear today, you go to your job in the morning at 8 o'clock. And you go and you work all day till 5 o'clock, and then you off. They tell us that you go to the church and you pray, you study, and you pray and you study, but when 5 o'clock comes, you go home and be with your family.
We need to be with our family. Don't get me wrong. Because that's the way God instituted. God instituted, first of all, where the love's supposed to be at. We're supposed to love Him at all costs. I'm supposed to love Him before I love my wife. I'm supposed to love Him before I do my daughter. I'm supposed to love Him before I do my mother. I'm supposed to love Him before I love anyone else. Then what did He institute? Oh, in the book of Genesis, He instituted the family. He instituted the family. And then in the book of Acts, what did He do? He instituted the church. Why? Well, we could come in as one body and we could fellowship together. And as we come in as one body, if I come in and if I'm hurting, or if something is maybe has went wrong in my life or in my family or whatever, then you're going to sense it. Same way with me. I will have sensed that you're going through problems. You're going through troublesome times. And we all go through them times. If you haven't been through troublesome times, if you haven't been through them, you just wait a few minutes, and I promise you, you'll be going through it. You'll be going through it. If you really love God, if you're really serving God, you will go through troublesome times. Why? But just thank God, He's still there. He's still there. He still got us in the palm of His hand. And as long as we're in the palm of His hand, it says no one can pluck us out of His hands. Why? Because we're in His hands. And if they come to His hands and they try to pluck us out, what are they going to do? They're going to probably end up getting saved. That's just like
Shelby, personally,
He died for Shelby, personally.
The Holy Spirit done his part. The Son has done his part. Now the Father has to do his part. You know what his part is? Write his name. Write her name down. The Christian's name down. And the Lamb's book of life.
And here I am, Satan. Now, for me to get to that Christian down on the other end, that means that I've got to go through the Holy Spirit. And for me to go through the Holy Spirit, I've got to. Then I have to go through the Son. Then I have to go through the Father to get to her. Well, praise be to God, if I went through the Holy Spirit, I went through the Son, went through God the Father, when I got to her, hallelujah, praise God, I'm saved.
You know he cannot get saved.
Hey, he cannot touch us. The devil cannot touch you. He cannot touch me.
He will go out there
And that was in the late 50s, in the early 60s. I think he died of a heart attack in 61. But when he went to the store, if he didn't have enough seeds, he'd go to the store and buy some more seeds to plant. But he did not go out and just buy, say, a half a pound of seed or something like that, and just open the row up, and after he done cultivated the land and plowed it and everything, got the land in perfect order. And then he took the tractor and went out there and opened the road. When he went and opened that road, he didn't just take and put the seeds in there and paint it. Or reached down in the bucket and got a handful of seeds and went by and just walked in. You know what he did? That's wasted. He will go and he will plant one seed. He will plant one seed right here, then he will scribble away and he'll plant another seed. Then he'll scribble away and plant another seed. When he got down to the end of the road, he was to have one seed in each one of them leaves. He didn't waste nothing. He didn't waste a seed. So what that's telling me, and God's Word tells us, is the same thing. If we don't watch it, we can waste. We can waste our precious time when the seed has already been planted by us. We need to pray and we need to tell other people just to go by and visit them. Let them go by and visit them and water the little seed. And then allow somebody else to go by and just talk to them. Cultivate the little seed. Break up the crust that's around the hill. But when the rain comes from heaven, it won't just be on the top where the ground is hard and it's not crusted. It's not to the point where the water is situated. That's what we need. We need to plant the seed, and we need to plant it in a way to where other people can go out and cultivate it. They can water it. And I love God. That's the only way it's going to ever work. God has to be needed. Just like that rule above me. Some people out here playing, they go out and broadcast and here they are, they got probably maybe 5 or 6 ounces of butter beans and like that far. You can go back and you can look. All of them will come up. Some of them will die. Some of them will just die and run away. That's what I think is happening today. Too many churches are dying. Too many people in any church are just rotting away. Why?
Because they are planting the seed the wrong way. And we must ask the Lord to give us that particular seed to plant. Chapter 5 in Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 8. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love and helmet and hope of salvation. For God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we shall live together with him. We saw over here in chapter 4 and verse 16, it says, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven, what? With a shout. You know, and I'm going to ask you, how many of you can remember when in times past that you'd have a church service or revival, and when the preacher or the evangelist would be up here preaching, and you'd have somebody just come out and just burst out a good old shout? But if you go and you burst out a good old shout today, they say, well, he's a fanatic. Well, they can call me fanatic all they want to. We need to let people know whose side I'm on. And I'm on the Lord's side. And hallelujah, praise God for it. I'm on his side. I want to win as many as I can to the Lord. But I have to do it his way. I have to ask him who he wants me to go see. I have to ask him the words that I need to give out. Because see, some people may not accept us as we go to them. We may not, the Lord may not even reveal to us what to say. Well, what do you say about that? The Lord don't reveal anything to you about what to say. Well, the Lord says over in Proverbs, says we can show ourselves friendly. And that's what we need to do. We need to show people that we are friendly individuals. We're friendly Christians. We're lovable Christians. We love thy soul. No, we don't love the sin that they commit. We don't love it. We don't love the sin that they maybe be committing right in front of our eyes. No, we don't. But we love the individual soul. And we pray for the soul. We pray that they will get right with God. And how they're going to get right with God? By us just going and saying, well, you know, if you don't get in church, if you don't do this, if you don't do that, you ain't going to heaven. Well, hey, I got news for you. When we get to heaven, we're going to be surprised of the people that's going to be there. We're going to be definitely surprised of the people that we thought would have been there. I'll tell you, I've met some people. Yes, they in church. Yes, they faithful to the church. But you don't hear bringing up anything at all about how God has blessed them. How God has blessed them. I've never heard them speak up and say, well, you know, God has really blessed me and my family. And I thank God for saving my soul. But they come to church. And then if you start preaching on hell, they'll turn around and they'll walk out on you. Well, if you can't preach hell today, and they walk out, they may be a good church member, but that's all they are. It's just a good church member. I'd rather have a church full of people that's not even a member of the local church and have them serving God. I know without a shadow of a doubt that you're here tonight. Not because that you yourself want to be. You're here tonight because God saved you. That's the reason you're here. Because if we ever get the idea in the back of our head that I want to be there, then the next thing you know, that want to or get to the point that, you know, I've been going to church down for a long time, and, you know, I really haven't missed any. And I think I need to have a break. People saying they want a break from God is what they're saying. They need a break from God. They need a break from all of God's blessings. I don't need a break from God's blessings. I don't need a break from His house. Because that's where I get all of my blessings, is when I come in to the storehouse of God, when I come into the house of prayer. That's when I receive the blessings from the Father. The archangel there, the voice of an archangel, what did he say? "For this we say unto you, by the word of the Lord, that we, which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord, shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and the trump of God. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first." The voice of an archangel is going to be there with the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's the one's going to be with him, and he's the one that's going to take that trumpet, and he's the one's going to take that trumpet, and he's going to put it to his mouth. And when he blows that trumpet, there's going to be a distinct sound that no one has ever heard before. But we that are Christians, we will recognize that sound. We will recognize that sound. The ones that are not saved, they will not recognize that sound. They may hear a sound, and the sound that they will hear is where people are talking about, "Well, look at that. There's a tractor trailer. He done run off the highway. Look above. Man, I see something there in the sky. Oh no, there goes another automobile crashing, going down the interstate. Cars going every which way." That is going to happen. That's going to happen. The reason that we got the internet today? You know the reason we got all the technology that we have today? It's because God wants the world to see what's going on. God wants the world to see what's going on and what they have missed. They will never have another chance. But the ones that are born in the tribulation time, they're the one that's going to have a chance. But look at what they're going to have to go through. We've had it too good for so long. We just had it too good for so long. And I think really these third world countries over there, just like Brother J.W. and the other evangelists comes in, and evangelists and even the missionaries that come in, they talk about overseas. Where they come in. No, they don't have fancy buildings. They don't have electric lights. They don't have the fancy pews that we have that's padded. They don't have a platform up here. They don't have a pulpit area right here where an individual can stand here and preach from. They don't have microphones and all of that. They don't care anything at all about none of that. Only thing they care about is hearing something from the Word of God. Here in the States,
preacher told me one time, he said, I think what the problem here is in this state is that we just preach too much. And I couldn't disagree with him. But it's true. I mean, they come into, I mean, what is it for them to come in the house of God and just sit down and just join in with us singing? Just join in with us in singing and all of this and all of that.
Yesterday afternoon, when me and Brother Bill and Brother Charlie, and I can call him Brother because he told me he was saved. But you know,
now I'm not talking about him or nothing like that. But here is a young boy, a young man. How old did he say he was? 28, 29, something like that. Really blind. Ain't driving legal. Can't go out here and do some of the things that he would love to do. Because the doctors told him that if he goes out here to be blind, and if he kills somebody, that he would be charged with murder. That's what the doctor said, because he's legally blind. Couldn't tell you what that is. You ought to see him out there yesterday. He even comes to me this morning. He was preaching what they were going to do. He says, I had a good time yesterday. And he did. I honestly believe he had a good time. I didn't run him down. I'm not going to run nobody down. Well, I look at it. He done more yesterday afternoon than I've done all week. Probably done all year. I mean, he was a go-get. He's the first one out of the car. One deal. I mean, Brother Bill went, but I don't think Brother Bill even got a chance to get after it. Maybe a couple of times. I mean, yeah, I maybe got out a couple, two or three times, but he was, I mean, that young boy, he just got out. And he'd go in there and say, can I put a flyer in? We're going to have a cookout. Won't you come and invite me? They said, yeah. He'd put it up. And then when he come out of that door, he didn't stop out. He'd see cars pull up to the gas pump, and he'd go over to the gas pump, and he'd hand them one. We stopped up in that van all day, and Brother Bill said, he said, I don't think they will take one, at least they wouldn't at one time, because of corporate office and different things. And some of the places we went to, they wouldn't take them because of the corporate offices wouldn't allow them. They said they just don't allow anybody. It's not just not you or just not Christian, but we don't allow anybody to come in and put up a flyer. It comes from the corporate office. Well, you know, I obeyed the wishes. And had you one up at the Dollar General, I think it's the Dollar General, and she told me, she said, you know, I wish they would put it up. But they won't. He's from the corporate office. I said, what we need to do is we just need to pray for the corporate office. We need to pray that God will get a hold of the heart. And I was coming out of the Dollar General van, coming on back down to the car where I parked at the Vance Auto. He done went into Vance Auto and put a flyer up, and he done went out there and people coming in, the van saw them driving up. Some people like that wait, he'd go out there and hand. Would you mind taking one of these? They take them. That's what we need. We need people to a go-getter. And he's a go-getter. I mean, he goes out and wants to get them in.
I mean, he did. He blessed my heart yesterday. And I know the young man, he comes in, and when he comes to church, he's got on the shorts and everything, comes down below his knees and everything. But you know, if we really come right down to it, if we go by biblically what the Bible says, we're all coming in, even the men are coming in. This is on the family, right down below our anchor. That's what we need, Lord. But now, you know what we want to do? What we say we want to do? Then Jesus comes in. But Jesus, no, you can't come in right now. You got to go through this. You don't have one. Well, I tell you, don't worry. I'll send my wife and I'll let her give you one. I mean, you think I'm going to come to church with what did I call it yesterday? I called it yesterday. Burlap. And on top of that, we wouldn't even have pews in here. We wouldn't even have chairs in here. We'd be standing outside in the sun. And you wouldn't even sit down. And here Paul preached. He didn't preach just 1 hour. I wish Paul would hurry up. I got to get me some lunch. Them pinto beans I got on, they will burn. And I know that. I know that they're going to be in that line down there. And they're going to get all the good food. Lord, that must not be good for you. Hurry it up. You think Paul cared? No. Paul done exactly what God asked him to do. Preach his word. He done that, and he went out and started churches. He was a missionary. And he was a preacher of the gospel. He started churches and he taught individuals that was went in that church. He would see someone that would come into that church and say that he would start talking to them and everything and seeing how much they love God and everything. And then he'd take his side and he'd talk to them a little bit. Come on, I'm going to let you know what the qualification is. And if you like the qualification, majority of the churches that are around don't even know what the qualifications are for a pastor. Much less trying to go out and search for a pastor. They don't know the qualification. They just said, well, you're preaching? Come on in, hallelujah, and preach for us. Not just like, hey, when Brother J.D. Walker called me for the first time, Brother James gave him my phone number, and he called me because he was over at Shady Oak that morning, and he really wanted a place to come to that night. So Brother James Albert gave him my name, and he called me that Sunday afternoon. It's Sunday afternoon. He called me and he talking to me. He says, I was talking to Brother James this week, your pastor, and I was asking him, do you mind if I come over? And he said, well, he said, I don't mind you coming. He said, but we already have a missionary lined up. You come tonight, he's going to present his word. And I think it was Brother Cook. Then, so he gave him my phone number. And he called me that afternoon. And he told me where he'd been at. He'd been over Shady Oak. He preached Sunday morning, presenting his work over there. But he wanted another place to go and visit, present his work, instead of having to drive all the way back to Stewart. He just had one meeting. And I said, well, and I knew him from one of the preacher's meetings we went to, and I said, Brother J.D., I said, I want to ask you something now. I said, now, won't you tell me the truth? I said, because if you don't, I'll know it when you come tonight. I said, now, what I want to know is, what Bible do you preach from? He says, what do you mean, which Bible? I says, yeah, which Bible do you preach from? He said, well, I didn't know it was but one out there. I says, well, I hope you're going to give me the right answer that I'm looking for. I said, but you don't. I said, you ain't welcome. And he said, well, he said, I was going to tell you the NIV. He said, but since you said I wouldn't be welcome, he said, no. He said, no, I don't preach nothing but from the King James. I mean, because he'll pick on you. You know, he just likes to bring a little humor in on it. And we talked for probably for an hour then. And then last Wednesday night after the church voted him to take him on and everything, I went home and about 9:30, I called him because I figured probably about that time he'd be at home.
Called him about 9:30. He answered the phone. I said, Brother, J.D., I said, I've got some good news and I've got some bad news for you. He says, now, just go on and give me bad news for you. I said, well, I don't know whom you serve today, but I'm serving the same one today that I was serving last week or the other week when you come. everything that what I said tonight, Father, is going to come to pass. It's not just something that we're thinking about, it's not something that we're preaching about. The Father's going to come on reality for each one of us. And one of these days, it's going to be. That will be the Son of Jesus. And we're going to be able to thank Him. I know we can thank Him all day long and evening, but I think it's going to be something that when we stand and we look at Him face to face, and we say, thank You, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank You, Lord, for making me whole. Thank You, Lord, for allowing me to stay together with You. Father, we want to thank You once again for this day. Thank You for the service we had this morning. Thank You for the visitors that come in. Father, we thank You for the service tonight, Lord Jesus. We pray. Father God, You will help us this week. That we'll be mindful with our spirit. We will do all of what You have given for us to do. We will be faithful to do it. In Jesus' precious name, amen and amen.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank You. I ain't let out a good old shout. You ain't let out a good old
shout. I'm sure it is. Everybody expected that.
Did I scare you?